Hello, YouTube human. This video is about the transit of Mars in Virgo that starts on July 10th and goes all the way to the end of August. I'm going to talk about maybe five, possibly six dates here that I think you should look out for in this transit. I think it's an interesting one and a good one, especially during a Venus retrograde that's about to happen and other little tidbits that happen in the sky. I'll bring up some charts and I will try to be clear and precise and critical about what I do and what I say here, because that's how Mars in Virgo rolls. All right, let's bust out a chart. Here is the chart. Pretty much at 4:40 a.m. Pacific on July 10th, which is a Monday, Mars goes into Virgo and leaves Leo, which it's been an interesting ride because it's been pretty much along with Venus in the sky in Leo. In the last several weeks, really close to each other in the sky. As a matter of fact, I'm making this video on Sunday, the July 9th. Last night, the night before, and the next several nights, you'll be able to actually catch a little bit of Mars next to Venus and kind of see that visual aspect. Venus is going to be the brightest planet out there, obviously, because that's how she's rolling these days. But Mars kind of leaves this last place and enters in Virgo on July 10th. Now, to get this straight here, I want you to understand the details, because that's what Virgo is all about, being efficient in their movements and their actions in the systems that they create and like to have guide in their lives. And in a sense, if there is preciseness and a critical eye on things, then that supposedly creates an efficient type of energy output. And when I say energy, I'm relating that to the action planet, Mars. Mars deals with the energy in the chart. If you're looking at your own chart, you will go look to Mars to see where the engine is, basically. And here in the sky, it's in Virgo. Now, Virgo wants precise results in the end, so it will create a system and a methodical way of going about that. And Mars will accentuate something like that in the sign of Virgo and seek that efficiency, that exactness, and inherently perfection in whatever it is and whatever it's relating to. There's other sides to this, I would say darker or downsides to that, and I'll pull up, so I'll talk about those along the way. But basically, I want to show you here with my annotator, and I changed things up here because some of you watch my channel. You could see here Mars at 0 degrees here, and basically, it has entered in at zero, just left Leo, right? And off the bat, even though by degree we're not seeing anything yet, but we know if we look directly opposite, we can kind of see something brewing over here because there's a couple different things happening in Pisces. So we will get to that in a second, but I just want to accentuate this day, July 10th. If you're a Virgo, Virgo rising, a Virgo moon, you're actually kind of digging this. I am going to tell you, though, that I want you to, in particular, I want you to, for those that I just mentioned, we always look to see where the ruler is of something. So Virgo's ruled by Mercury. So right now, Mercury is in the sign of Cancer, and it actually does switch up on the same day on July 10th at night into Leo. So pretty much for a lot of this transit, Mercury's going to be in Leo, and eventually at the end, Mercury's going to be in Virgo. I think this is a lot of heady firing, eventually more Virgo type of energy that happens during almost the 2 months of Mars being in Virgo. So I want you to understand that Mercury's a player in here, as always. One of my favorites is a player in this because it rules the sign of Virgo. So let's get to a big date that is a huge one, and it can be a potentially tough one. And here is on July 20th at 1:39 p.m., Mars then will be, in Virgo, will be opposite Saturn and Pisces. And so this is a big one, I think, in general for how Mars is going to catch some resistance here at 6 degrees at this point. You could also see when this happens that the moon just enters Virgo that day, and it's completely opposite, exactly opposite. There's Saturn in Pisces. I'll do a couple little highlighters out right there for you. See where Saturn is at 6 degrees. And now we have Mars, who's been pushing the efficient, critical, exact story, all about the details and the precision of details and the efficiency of details and the system to create, to get things done pretty much, catches a wall, a Saturnian wall, an authoritative wall. Stop. Can't go past this place. And depending on how Mars is doing in your chart, if you have Mars in Virgo, you're Virgo, this could be very intense or caustic. It's kind of like, you know, you get pulled over. You're driving somewhere and you get pulled over, or there's something that gets in your way just when you, for 10 days that Mars, at this point being July 20th, Mars has been in Virgo. It's getting it done and it's slowly getting it done. And all of a sudden, Saturn gets in your way and wants you to check the rules of the situation, to reevaluate the rules, to reevaluate the way you're doing things, to put a test in front of you, to answer to things, to take responsibility for things. So in a sense, Mars catches a resistance here. And what happens is a certain type of, can be a power struggle that happens in leading up to this day, and a clash between Mars and Saturn. And here we have to think about, in the end, what can we do with this aspect? But first, we want to deal with control issues, because in a sense, Saturn is control and the rules, and it's throwing that on the Mars, and Mars just wants to go, get out of my way. In methodical, quiet working, actually, the Virgo's quietly working, quietly, methodically doing something, right? And sometimes going a little too far. And so you have to, first of all, if you want to take this in a positive sense and get past the control issues or the power play issue, is to understand there's a reason why the boundary is coming up. And it's a reevaluation mode always with Saturn, and is asking Mars and Virgo to do that. Saturn's the bigger outer body planet. It's always, to me, it's always going to have a little bit more of an advantage. Now, how Mars deals with this wall is key. And what could happen here is once Mars gets over, like, get out of my way, and starts to understand they can't move as fast because Saturn is there, then it could start to integrate Saturn. And what you have here is when Saturn and Mars actually get past the clash and the argument or start to merge, now you have a system that is strong and it's long-lasting intention, an energy output that is steady and strong. And that's when Mars and Saturn get together, you can pull that stuff off. But first, you got to get over, one has to get over the Mars and Virgo story. Now, let's not forget here, because I pointed out earlier that the moon's going to be there. So on an emotional level, this day in particular, the moon's going to be connected to Mars and it's going to get set off. And in one weird way, later in a day and a half, Neptune and Pisces is actually involved. But I just want to get you this. Saturn's asking for a bigger, solidifying, crystallized a way of taking action, Mars in Virgo. And we want to integrate the two whenever there's an opposition. But honestly, the days leading up to this and that day can be super caustic, super challenging, and a pretty much a fight between the two. And it's how one in particular in your chart connects with this, so on and so forth. If you want to know about this stuff, by the way, personally, I work and I do one-on-one consultations. You could see my info down in the copy. So that happens on the 20th. I will say one more thing about this, and I'll get to, I just want to make sure I become clear. I think one of the most interesting things about Saturn and Pisces being opposite Mars and Virgo, and we're talking about Saturn bringing rules and the harshness of Saturn, the cold reality of Saturn. But Saturn's in Pisces. I almost think that Saturn here, in one way in Pisces, could be telling and stopping the Mars in Virgo and saying, hey, you're actually possibly going too fast, and maybe you don't realize how overwhelming this is becoming into your nervous system, your digestive system, your bodily function as a Virgo, what it's doing into your mind, maybe slow down. And a lot of times Virgo energy will just methodically go, 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 because it cannot help to see the faults and something that's not working. So they find the parts in that system and they take it out and they bring in something and they make it efficient. And until that is happening, they will plot and work a little bit day by day. But sometimes, and actually, a lot of the time in the end with stories like this, you can't make things perfect. There's the attempt of doing it. And I think Saturn in Pisces here actually says, in a Saturnian way, asking the Mars and Virgo to let go of the work, just for a little bit. Let go of the being exact and methodical, that it might be actually to your detriment right now, and take a break and slow down. And a lot of times Pisces deals with no systems and trusting the universe kind of mentality and letting go. And Virgo needs to learn that in their archetypal story sometimes, to balance what they do, to say they can't have control over everything all the time. You can't get all the details right. It's never going to be perfect. We strive for that. And if it wasn't for Virgo energy and Virgo to-do lists and methodical step-by-step processes, the little things that we do in life, the world would not be spinning. But at some point, you have to let go and you have to just take a step here. And I actually think Saturn and Pisces in its Saturnian rule-based way says, take it easy. You need to let go. Let go. Trust something else is going to help you. You can't do everything, Virgo. You can't do everything, by the way. Okay? It's okay to ask for help. You don't have to do it all on your own. I'm speaking to you, Virgo risings, Virgo suns, people with major Virgo placements. Ask people for help. Get past the pride issues and how great and badass you are with your mind. We all know the gifts that you have, but sometimes you catch resistance and you have to look at why. And a lot of times you have to stop what you're doing, let go, even if you have to ask someone for help. Okay. So there's my little preaching moment with Mars opposite Saturn. We're gonna go to August 8th, actually. And this is where we starts to get good. This Mars transit almost hits all the outer, it hits all the other body planets in 2 months almost by the end of August. When we get to August 1st, now we have, I'll move it here, at 1:44 p.m. Pacific on August 1st, we have a Mars-Jupiter trine. Now we're getting to the good stuff after taking a break, after getting a gut check from Saturn. Now, Mars in Virgo is going to trine Jupiter in Taurus. We like what Jupiter is bringing here. Jupiter is going to bring the hope, as always. Here's 13-degree Mars in Virgo, and here is Jupiter and Taurus at 13, and they're trining each other, they're going back and forth, they're vibing and relating with each other. And this 13-degree Jupiter here is such an interesting player in the next year, but here is Earth and Earth connecting. And now we have this hopeful view again, this hopeful outlook on this quest, the questing mentality that Jupiter and Taurus brings, connecting with Mars and Virgo to support their methodical, detailed story here to getting things done, to actually increase the efficiency that Mars and Virgo envisions Jupiter, increase Jupiter, right? Quest Jupiter. So we deal with this from a practical Earth-based point of view. We could get stuff done here, but it's not boring. It actually is elevating and feels pretty good. Elevating Jupiter, right, is a key word. So another one, we're going to think about the confidence that after Saturn, you know, earlier, weeks before, you know, hit the Saturn and Mars thing that I just talked about, Jupiter brings confidence here. And the type of a confidence that Jupiter and Taurus brings is like, we're going to do the work step by step at our pace, earthbound pace that we like to do, and we're going to get it done. And not only that, we actually, from the beginning to now in this part of the story, we actually envision more success, more harvest, more feel good, right? But first, we have to get things done, and Jupiter elevates Mars in Virgo here. Now, if you haven't noticed something here, I will erase it. There's something interesting that happened along the way. Side note, you have Mercury now in Virgo. Okay? So now it's out of Leo by the end of July, Mercury goes in to Virgo after being in Leo. And now we have that. Why am I pointing that out? Well, I'm going to show you here in a sec why I think it's very important, obviously, because I told you earlier that Mercury rules Virgo, so we always want to know where Mercury is in this Mars and Virgo story. Okay, so we're going to jump all the way to the 16th. I'll clear this out, and I'll bring up another chart if I get this right. And it's actually be on August 16th, Mars will trine Uranus now in Taurus. And here we have at 6:53 a.m. Pacific on the 16th, we have now Mars vibing with more Taurus again, and the later degrees of Uranus being in Taurus. I will point here to Mars. right here at 23 degrees. And you could see here when we get to Uranus right here at 23, they are going to trine each other, which is 120 degrees away from each other. And we're digging this. Now we have a exciting, rambunctious, stimulating energy that Uranus is bringing to Mars. It, after a Saturn hit, after a Jupiter hit, now it's getting like this lightning bolt setting it off multiple times, actually, in a way, because Uranus just is unpredictable. So on this, on that week, when we pretty much go from August 1st to the 16th here, we have an interesting buildup of energy with Mars and Virgo and connecting with Jupiter and with Uranus. We like this. Virgo's definitely liking this because it actually gets set off and stimulated in a different way with that kind of electricity that Uranus brings to one's mind. There's ideas that pop through. There's sudden breakthroughs of thought, which Virgo is ruled by Mercury, and Virgo likes to deal with systems and the proficiency and the efficiency of them. We have a different way of doing things here, possibly a different insight. So basically, that is going from August 1st into the 16th. Now, I want to stop here and just show you something here. There's two things here, and it's not necessarily just this day, but we're taking track of Mercury here. Mercury's major player here at 19 degrees. And we're going to point to it right there. It's getting closer to Mars, isn't it? It seems like it's getting closer and kind of fueling this idea. So not only that, Mercury's getting close. It already had recently a Mercury-Jupiter trine, and then it's kind of coming towards Uranus too. You could see how power-packed and electrifying the mind process is here for Virgo, for you Geminis too, but you Virgo risings, you have Mercury in Virgo, you have Mars in Virgo. You're riding a high right now. Now, remember to eat and drink and replenish your body. But I also want to point out here that you could see, had a new moon that happened pretty much on the 16th of August. Now, I want to make sure I get this right for you because these are little things we want to pay attention of. We're looking at the 16th, and it happened, the new moon happened at 2:38 a.m. on the 16th, so earlier that morning at 23 degrees. And so you could see why I'm pointing this out, because it's prevalent in the energy going on and prevalent with the Venus and Leo story, okay? So we have that, and we have the ride the lightning vibe now with Mars and Uranus. When we get to the 22nd, which is pretty much six days after this, let me clear this out for you, and we're going to get to something else. And I will bring this up here, and this is August 22nd. This is Mars opposing Neptune. Now some of the fun and the spontaneity and electricity might not be flowing there now. Now that we have this, you can see now how Mars is pretty much hit Saturn to everything else afterwards, outer body wise. We'll get to Pluto here in a second, but it's like, well, we have Neptune opposing Mars, and at this point we're going to look at where Mars is at 26 degrees here. Okay, this happens at 1:33 p.m. on August 22nd Pacific time. Here we have Neptune at 26 degrees, and here is the opposition to both the planets. Now Neptune is throwing some weird filter on everything, and I actually think obsession comes here. This is kind of weird territory, almost a dangerous, but it's almost weird territory for Mars and Virgo after everything that it's been doing now, feeling elevated, feeling electrified. Now I feel it's gone too far. And Neptune throws its shady filter. It's what's real, what's not filter on there. But first things first, obsession is right here. Not the type of obsession that happens with Mars-Pluto. There's obsession there, but here it's like obsessed with the details, maybe a little too much, where it becomes not real anymore for Mars and Virgo, where it kind of gets lost in the details. It's going too far, or it loses track of the story and the systems that it's been creating, and Neptune is throwing this fantasy muted energy on top of Mars. Okay, and so not only that, it gets off path, basically. It gets Mars and Virgo gets thrown off its system, gets thrown off the efficiency game, and gets thrown off here, building up to the 22nd. And we are always looking to see where Mercury is in all this, and we're going to pay attention here. Because now Mercury's at 21, but right here, if you can't see it, there's a little S right there. And that means that Mercury is stationing retrograde right while this is happening, right leading up, even the days into this, we have a Mercury retrograde where Mercury's slowing down in the sky in Virgo, ruling the Mars in Virgo, slowing down and going retrograde. You could see now the mishaps and the confusion that can happen leading up to August 22nd, that the Mars energy gets slowed down and muted by Neptune, gets almost slow. It's pretty much slowed down by Mercury in Virgo because it's stationing retrograde. And here we have a several days of mishaps, mental mishaps, forgetfulness, things didn't get sent through. I wasn't heard or understood. The story all the way up till now, from July 10th to here, hits a major like pool of a watery, boundaryless something that comes over Mars and Mercury here. And now we could see how things can get dissolved. The boundaries get dissolved, with the systems get dissolved. Now, if we were looking for a way to deal with this positively, right, in a way where we could take this to our advantage, we want to think about what Neptune brings, because it will turn you off or push you off track, or you have to decide what's real and what's not. But in a sense, it isn't a little weird oasis place that happens. And if one can somehow get their bearings in that place and seek something more, and this is, again, Neptune's in Pisces, that the lesson that Virgo always is learning from Pisces, their opposite sign, is to trust the unknown and have faith in the unknown, that everything's going to be okay, that you can't control everything, that you can't get everything right. I've said this earlier. Piscean energy will bring the thing of having faith in something you cannot see, the unknown. Goddess worship, religion, prayer comes into this, meditative qualities, things that transcend past the earthbound details. And here is the way to work with this. If you're having problems, or this is going to be a challenge for you, or you foresee that, is you need to let go and to slow down and just kind of find the more elevated mind way of taking a potion, of a healing potion. And I say potion because I think Pisces can bring that way. We could take a potion to disregard things or to disconnect from reality, but we're taking a potion here to let go into something that's higher and beyond us, which actually is reality in the end, and brings us to a grounded place, if you could believe it. It doesn't sound that way, but I'm giving you a possible remediation with dealing with this, okay? Now, we'll get to the last day that I have here, the last part of it, and I'll bust a move here to go here, and I'll bring up this chart here. I got these like screenshotted here in a way to make it easy. So here is 5:22 p.m. Pacific on August 24th. Now we have Mars at 28 degrees. I will show you here that you could see Mercury is fully officially retrograde, 21. Here's Mars at 28. And we're looking to Pluto retrograde in Capricorn here, which trines connects with Mars in Virgo to kind of end the transit in a way, because on the 27th, Mars goes into Libra. That I don't actually like that Mars and Libra transit, to be honest, it's coming. But this one, this Mars Virgo transit hits all the outer bodies in a way, has a couple of Saturn and a Neptune kind of places where it's tough. And here's this interesting place where we can look at this by math, by saying it's trining, that it's good, and it is. But whenever Pluto's involved, I think it goes beyond good and bad or that kind of stuff. I think you have to look deeper than that. And basically, we do know that Pluto goes deep. So if we combine deep with Mars energy, we got deep energy. Okay. So we have deep and Earth signs. Okay. Capricorn and Virgo. We got deep energy reserve. So we could use those words as a deep energy reserve building up to this point. Mercury's still retrograde though. So we have to take that into account. That's moving really slow, but we don't mind a slow, methodical Earth way of doing things. And Pluto in Capricorn brings a deeper, more subconscious storyline up here for Mars and Virgo. Mars and Virgo does it actually for Pluto and Capricorn here on a bigger mundane political level or whatever, however you want to think that. But here we want to watch power struggles, even though it's trining each other, even though they are vibing with each other, Pluto and Mars, there's always some sort of power struggle, whether it's an opposition, a square, and even a trine. For me, we pay attention to this because we took into account these last five or six charts that I've had up, and we want to understand the story. Mercury's retrograde, right? The sun just entered Virgo and left Pisces. We have 14 degrees at this point. Venus is moving backwards in Leo. So not everything's moving forward in Candy. So we want to find a... in the end, if I look at Pluto Mars here and trining, we want to sharpen the mind and go to a deeper, more precise place with the mind, with Pluto guiding it to the core, to the very base core of everything, shit and all, like the good stuff and the bad stuff. There we can reevaluate, and there we can clear things out, which in the end, I haven't mentioned this, in the end, Virgo likes to do. It likes to clear stuff out. To be honest, it's part of the system is to clean things, to clear stuff out, to purge things out. That's part of getting things done. And Pluto here at the end of this transit shows what final things need to be pushed out in front of you, but on a deeper subconscious level, if you're from the Pluto and Virgo generation, if you got planets, rising signs, sun in Virgo, Pluto's going in to one more thing to take out of the system, but this one's big. This one, once we do it, once we get to that place and clear that out and change it from a power struggle into a power grab and a heightened elevation of power for oneself in the Capricorn, but really Virgo part of your chart, that is where I think the mind and the intention of Virgo fulfills itself finally through this transit through the end of the month. And that's how I'll end it. I appreciate you watching. If this is your first time here, this is kind of how I do things. I do live streams. Please hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. The bell's huge for my channel because I do surprise live streams almost every week. I'm planning here on doing a big one for my astrology call-in show. It's called the Empower Hour. You call in on the phone. I put a number up on the screen. You call in and I will talk about your chart for about 8 to 10 minutes. I do it live on the air. You can look at my previous live stream videos and take a look at what I've done. As in the Empower Hours, you can see my surprise ones for the week. So thank you. Good luck with the Mars and Virgo transit. And as always, I'll see you on the next video.